The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.' O Lord, have mercy on us." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's text has to rank as one of the most widely known of Jesus' parables. Probably the best loved one as well. Unfortunately, it's probably also one of the most misunderstood. The problem is evident already in the title by which it's popularly known, The Prodigal Son. This title would be okay if the parable ended in verse 24, which concludes, "And they began to celebrate." That's pretty much how the first two stories conclude in this three-part parable Jesus told in response to the grumbling of the scribes and Pharisees. When the lost sheep is found, the shepherd calls together his friends and neighbors to celebrate with him. So also with the lost coin. When the woman finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." The only thing that follows in these first two stories is an editorial comment from Jesus to the effect that there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Ending as they do, the accounts of the lost sheep and the lost coin lead us to expect a similar conclusion to the story about a lost son. But here Jesus has a surprise for us. After he's related the return of the prodigal and the celebration that ensues, he keeps on talking for 8 more verses. Verses in which he focuses on the son who wasn't prodigal, the one we might be tempted to think of as the good son. These 8 verses are the real reason for this account. Apart from these verses, Jesus could have quit after telling the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. Apart from these 8 verses, the account of the lost or prodigal son adds nothing new. But Jesus didn't end the story with the celebration of the younger son's return. This isn't simply the account of a son who was prodigal, that is wastefully extravagant in how he spent his inheritance. But perhaps I'm getting ahead of myself here. As he begins this account, Jesus doesn't establish the younger son as a sympathetic character. And this is the case even though we aren't as sensitive to the cultural clues that would have been unmistakable to his original audience. The father is a landowner who has sufficient fields and flocks to require servants to work for him. When the younger son comes asking for his share of the inheritance, he's effectively saying to him, "I wish you were dead. I'm tired of waiting. Liquidate the farm. Sell off everything you need to in order to give me what's coming to me. Why should I have to put my life on hold just because you're still alive?" This son's request was an enormous insult. The son had no right to anything. His father had every right at that moment to disinherit him on the spot, to throw him out on his ear, penniless, or even worse. He is a worthless son who had no love for his father. But the father doesn't take any action against his son. With an aching heart, showing incredible patience, he does as his son requests. And his son takes what his father has given him and goes off. Even his father's amazing restraint and love have no effect on this younger son. Not until he hits rock bottom, facing starvation after having run through everything his father had given him, does he begin to come to his senses. He finally figures out that living with dad wasn't that bad. Yet as shamefully as he's behaved, he's not so shameless that he considers asking to be restored to the family. But he thinks that perhaps, if he is sufficiently contrite, he can convince his father to take him on now as a servant. He works out a speech that is his best chance to get his father to give him what he needs. But he's completely underestimated his father. The heartbroken old man has been spending his days watching for him to return. As soon as he comes into sight, his father comes running out onto the road to meet him. And before this worthless son can get out even so much as a single word, his father welcomes him with hugs and kisses. Before the boy has an opportunity to make his request, treat me as one of your hired servants. His father has given orders concerning robe and ring and shoes and fattened calf, orders that show that as far as he's concerned, this boy has never stopped being his son. This my son was dead and is alive again, he tells his servants. He was lost and is found. And they begin to celebrate with music and dancing and feasting. This reveals a truly loving father, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. This is your heavenly Father, who as often as you have left him, by pursuing your own selfish desires, by returning again to your sin, by living to please yourself rather than him, who as often as you have left him, has never stopped loving you. But then the older son comes onto the scene. He resents his father's love and wants nothing to do with his father's rejoicing. And once again, we see this father's love, love for his older son this time, as he humbles himself to leave the celebration and go out to invite this older son to come into the feast. This son had never left home, but what he says to his father shows that as far as he was concerned, he was just as estranged from him as his brother had ever been in the far country. His words are hateful, filled with resentment of his brother and of his father. He says, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours," notice that he refuses to acknowledge him as his brother, "when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." The older son considered it a burden, an onerous duty, to listen to his father and serve him. His brother had hoped to return as a servant. In the older son's estimation, that's what he had been to his father all of these years. He had no love for his father, no joy in being with him. No less than his younger son, his younger brother at the beginning of the story, he wished his father had died long ago. He too was a worthless son, who by his hateful speech had given his father ample cause to disinherit him and throw him out on his ear. And yet there's no anger in the father's response. No holding of this older son's words against him. Instead, once again, we see the father's overwhelming love. "Son," he pleads, and despite his hateful words, he's still his father's son whom he loves. "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But it was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother," not just my son, but your brother, "this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." Don't exclude yourself from the family. Turn away from your sinful resentment and join in your father's happiness. Again, this is a picture of a truly loving father, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. This is your heavenly Father, who as often as you have left him, by considering serving him a burden, by thinking that living as a Christian is a buzzkill, by resenting his forgiveness to those who have offended you. This is your heavenly Father, who as often as you have left him, has never stopped loving you. Jesus told his three-part parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the two worthless sons and their loving father to an audience that consisted of tax collectors and sinners, as well as Pharisees and scribes. For the tax collectors and sinners, these three stories were a parable that assured them that they had a loving Father who rejoiced that they had been found, that though they had been dead in their trespasses and sins, they were now alive again. For the Pharisees and scribes, it was a parable that warned them not to exclude themselves from their Father's household by their resentment of his mercy. The truth is that no one is worthy of his sonship. Your place in the Lord's house is available only as a gracious gift from a loving and merciful Father, who sent his Son to seek and to save the lost, and to give his life on the cross as a ransom for sinners. The Lord loves you. He sent his Son to redeem you, to redeem you from sin and death, to win salvation for you by his holy precious blood and innocent suffering and death. You are his own now. And for Jesus' sake, you can live with him in eternal righteousness and innocence and blessedness. What Jesus says applies to you. I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Joy before the angels of God over your repentance and trust in God. Thank God for his gracious gift and for his rejoicing over you and me. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.